Yesterday we started to read from the beginning of the beginning, the first book of the Bible, Genesis, the beginning of that book. Yesterday we read of the first 4 days of the first creation account, and today we read the next 3 days, completing the 7 days. A beautiful, a profound account of a peaceful, orderly setting in place by divine decree. God speaks, what he says comes into being, he identifies that it is good, he blesses it. Creation is a beautiful, beautiful thing, and it's the foundation of everything else. It's the starting point. We don't understand that everything comes from God, well then we don't understand almost anything. But this is where the problem comes in. Instead of simply accepting what God has done, we, because we're free, we use our freedom to complicate and interfere with God's plan. And this is what we see in the gospel. The Pharisees and the scribes are, in their own minds, doing what's right because they're following the law and the tradition of the elders. So not only the law that comes from God, but also the law that comes from man. And they're using that position in their self-righteousness to judge the disciples of Jesus who haven't washed their hands. And Jesus, instead of talking about whether the law is good or bad or what we need as far as law goes, he goes to the heart of the problem. The problem is not the law. The problem is the human heart, which in its twisted way of thinking, establishes its own priorities, even against the law of God. So he's not saying whether we should wash our hands or not. He's saying we should not nullify God's commandment in favor of our own priorities. Isn't this the problem? If everyone always respected and followed and obeyed the law of God, all the problems in the world would be solved. But this is exactly what is wrong. We don't welcome, accept, and follow the law of God, including the very laws of nature. And this has gotten to an extreme case in our own times. In fact, in our own lifetime, this has become really extreme. Now, there is a very common mindset that says there is no such thing as creation. There's only what I decide, only what I determine for myself is what is real. I remembered a kind of famous quotation from a Supreme Court justice. I wrote it down so I wouldn't get it wrong because it's really wild. This is a Supreme Court justice in the United States. This was more than 30 years ago, Justice Kennedy, in one of the notorious decisions of the Supreme Court, said this: at the heart of liberty, freedom, human freedom, at the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. It's mind-boggling that anybody would say that. As if we have the right to define the universe. We have the right to define the mystery of human life. It's part of our freedom. Now, if it was just a high school kid, you'd say, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But this is a very highly educated, brilliant, top of the legal profession Supreme Court justice. And not only did he say it, but a lot of people agree with him. Majority opinion. Can you see how this idea is in direct contradiction to the revelation of creation? Justice Kennedy says, The heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, meaning, universe, mystery of human life. The account from Genesis chapter 1 is that God decides existence. He decides what exists and in what form. He decides the meaning of the universe. He decides the fundamental structure of the mystery of human life. God decides, not man, not us. Now, it might seem obvious, but it's not obvious. Now we have a very strong and growing movement which is declaring that we can decide for ourselves what gender we are. The gender ideology, the so-called transgender movement. It's in direct contradiction to what God has done. It's one thing to misuse creatures, take something that's intended for one thing and use it for something else. I say, or the example in Sunday's gospel was light, light of the world. You don't take a lamp and put it under a bushel basket, Jesus said. Why? Well, because that's the nature of a lamp. You use a lamp for what it's for. Now, it's one thing if you take a lamp and you put it under a bushel basket, or you put it in a locked room and no one can see it, but that's just foolishness. It's not a declaration that it's not a light. You don't say, this is not a lamp for me, because that would make no sense. But this is exactly what we're doing when it comes to this issue of gender. Right here in the book of Genesis, one of the key verses, in fact, one of the highlights of the whole creation story, is the creation of man. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. God didn't say that about any other creature. Only the human person is made in the image, in the likeness of God. And then it says, this is Genesis 1, verse 27, one of the most important verses here. God created man in his image. In the divine image, he created him, male and female, he created them. From the very beginning, God created the human person, male and female, two sexes, and only two. And it's the complementarity of those two that makes possible the fulfillment of God's plan that this creature multiply, be fruitful and multiply, and take its rightful place in creation. It's so fundamental that no one really thought otherwise until fairly recently. I've been doing a very superficial study of the popular culture because of some of the presentations I've had to do recently. One of the most popular entertainers in the Philippines is Vaisganda. Everybody knows him. As far as I know, he identifies himself as a man, a gay man. I don't think he claims to be a woman. I might be wrong about that, but I think he acknowledges that he's a man. Another, not as popular, but still very well-known entertainer is the woman who used to be known as Aisa Seguera. Aisa Seguera, a very talented singer, entertainer. Beautiful voice. Well, some years ago, she declared herself a lesbian. She declared herself as being attracted to the same sex, and she established a partnership with a woman. I don't know if she married her in another country or something, but some kind of same-sex relationship there. And then, more recently, she declared she's not a lesbian woman, she's a man. And she changed her name, at least in the popular world, to Ice, Ice Seguera. So don't call her Isa anymore, and don't call her, call her him. Well, now that's a completely different thing than saying that she's attracted to women. She's not saying, in this case, what is going on in her or what her experiences is. She's changing the nature of what she is. And that's a revolutionary difference. So, we talk about LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. Transgender is a completely different thing. it's a blatant rejection of what God has made. It has to be said. I mean, probably illegal to say it in some countries, but it has to be said. It's just absolutely blatant rejection of what is. It's a denial of reality itself. I'm not saying anything against ICE, Segura, or anybody. I don't have any judgment against her. But she can't say that she can't rightfully say that she's a man. She's not a man. She's a woman. Now, the politically correct way of speaking about gender is what you were assigned at birth. Have you seen that? Instead of saying, what's your sex, male or female, what sex were you assigned at birth? As if to say, it could have been something else, or maybe they made a mistake when you were born. Maybe they identified you as a man and really you're a woman. So you have to change it later. You have to correct the form. In other words, it's no longer a reality, a given by creation, a given by God. It's something that you can decide for yourself. It goes back to what Justice Kennedy said 30 years ago. The right, this is human liberty, human freedom, and this is at the very core of what it means to be a person in his mind. The right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. Now, there's a connection between that mentality that we can decide for ourselves the meaning of reality and the error of the Pharisees and the scribes in today's gospel. They're not as blatant as we see in our times, but there's something at root the same, meaning we put ourselves in the position of deciding what doesn't belong to us. We nullify God's commandment in order to uphold our own tradition. We reject or deny what is in order to take some claim on what we want. It's a kind of self-deification, a declaration of independence from God, and a declaration that I'm God, at least in this sense. Well, what do we do with this? Let's go back to what is real. Let's go back to what God has made and the reasons why he has made it. Let's go back to what is revealed as good. In fact, not only good, but very good. What God made is very good. The human person is very good. Every human person is an icon of God himself, male and female. Every human person is a revelation of God. We don't have to change it. We don't have to change him or her. Let's welcome the human person, the beauty of the human person, and cooperate in God's plan that human beings increase and multiply and take their rightful place, their dominion over creation. Okay, I think I went on and on about this yesterday, but I'll stop here and say, let's welcome what is good. Let's not fight against what is good or reject what is good. Let's at least be humble enough to accept reality, the reality of what we are and of who we are and of who God is, our creator, our loving father, our very generous benefactor who has given us the whole of creation. Let's be grateful rather than resistant, to open-hearted rather than closed-hearted. Thanks be to God for the gift, the good gift, the very good gift of creation, including the creation of ourselves.